This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. A badge of friendship on FUBAR Radio.
On Christmas Eve in the 80s, my mother would say to me, upstairs and go to sleep. Wake up in a dream. Christmas was better in the 80s, better in the 1980s.
Welcome to A Badge of Friendship on FUBAR Radio. I'm Claire Lim.
And I am Paul McCallum.
And Mr. Ed Williams will be with us shortly.
Forthwith.
This is our Christmas special, as you can tell.
It is indeed.
That was the future heads with Christmas was better in the 80s.
I think everything was better in the 80s.
Yeah, I think it's because we weren't sentient. We couldn't really remember what was going on in the 80s. But
totally.
Actually, it's probably a terrible time.
Was it?
Thatcher?
Well, yeah, but not for a child in the 80s.
Yeah, I suppose so.
That was the greatest
Mummy,
time.
Mummy, who's Thatcher? Anyway, not to start the show on a low note. It's Christmas time. Yes, it's Monday, and you're listening to Badge of Friendship on FUBAR Radio. This is our Christmas special, as I said. Later on in the show, we will be joined by Classic Rock Magazine's Joe Kendall and Polly Glass.
It's a classic rock Christmas,
yes.
Apparently.
So this first half are sort of songs that we've chosen, and then the last half of the show is going to be songs that Joe and Polly have sent over to us.
Great.
Classic rock specials, and there's lots and lots and lots of them. I couldn't fit them all in. I think Joe sent me almost 10 songs. or something. So yeah, I could only choose like three or four or something. So yeah, we'll be speaking to Joe and Polly from Classic Rock. Ed will be joining us later as well, because I think on the last episode he'd mentioned that he hates Paul McCartney's Wonderful Christmas Time.
So he's specifically going to come in to rant. Yep. About
and also stay
Paul
for
McCartney.
The rest of the show, obviously.
Yeah, well, he's not just going to come in and rant and then fuck off after 10 minutes. But yeah, he's going to come in and talk about why he dislikes that song and possibly why he dislikes Paul McCartney so much.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say anything because I'll waste all the chat now. So
that's that.
But yeah, that is basically
I'm sure
that.
He will have compiled a lengthy rebuttal to,
or maybe not, because it was his well, this is a pre-record, by the way. We're spoiling
this, I think.
Spoiling the magic of radio, but this is a pre-record. So last night actually was Ed's Christmas party.
Yeah.
So let's see how foggy or clear he is today.
And he has another one tomorrow, I believe.
Which is ours,
yeah. Obviously.
Yeah. So, yes, Ed will be coming in. We'll be talking about... So this is what we'll be chatting about. Well, we should probably do a little bit of this. Get into the festive spirit, Paul. Come on, Mr. Bat Humbug over there.
It's not Bat Humbug. This is a shit-ass song.
But
man,
this is the karaoke version, so there's no vocals here, so...
Driving over
yeah,
Christmas.
No. I don't mind this song, but his vocals, oh my God, it really that grates me. Like, kind of like Rod Stewart, is that gravelly, grainy tone. Anyway, so coming up on the show, we'll be chatting about Christmas song facts. So, there are quite a lot of them.
Well, there are loads.
Yeah, there are loads. We'll see how many we can rattle off. We'll be discussing the best alternative Christmas tunes. In fact, everything you're hearing tonight, pretty much about 90% of it is going to be alternative Christmas tunes. As you can tell, we opened with the Future Heads. I think there are a few sort of old school type songs. I actually doubt it. I actually kind of dislike old school Christmas songs, so I kind of like a bit of an original version. Then we've got the Christmas songs we hate.
Obviously, we have to have a hate section.
We've got a hate section specifically for...
We don't have a love section, really.
I think we do,
well,
right?
We kind of do songs that we kind of like-ish, but it's more emphasis on the hate.
There's very few that I actually hate when I was looking at it.
I don't like Christmas songs.
Just makes you feel festive. They make me feel
festive.
They're
all a bit crap, really, but...
But does it not make you feel like a bit more Christmassy?
I suppose, kind of. But think about it, when we were on our way here, we were listening to a whole bunch of Christmas songs. We were going through from Magic to Smooth to Absolute Radio, etc.
Yeah, we're so cool, obviously.
We're just kind of going through all the rounds, basically. And half of them are pretty grim, really.
Yeah, actually, I felt a bit depressed on the journey, because it's all kind of like songs about long lost loves and being alone and kind of forlorn, wistful thoughts.
Yeah, totally.
What happened to all the festive fun songs? Maybe Christmas was better than the 80s.
Yeah, I look back at a year of, so much fun and famine and war and someone leaving me or, I'm going to spend Christmas alone.
Well, we're not going to bring down...
I'm spend it with you.
Yeah, of course, and the cat.
Yeah.
But we're going to bring up the spirit. We're going to, like, raise Christmas spirit levels to, like, 11, basically. We're notch up to 11.
At that little top point of the thermometer, that's where it's going to be.
The whole goddamn show.
It's
anyway.
Be piping hot, red hot.
We're going to also be quizzing Joe, Polly, and Ed on Christmas clips. So basically, what we've done is we've taken 5-second clips from some of the most famous songs from. Some of them date back to the 50s. So there's some...
It should be relatively doable for such a knowledgeable bunch of musos as those guys.
Well,
Ed's already declared that he's going to win this. So.
Ed seemed very confident.
Yes.
As soon as I said he went, got this.
Yeah.
Like, right. He's got to redeem himself after the Prince quiz, quite frankly. So we've got a Christmas quiz where it's just 5-second tracks. You can play along at home as well. There's 10 of them, 10 5-second clips. Some of them are super, super easy. In fact, I think probably 50% of them are quite easy, and then some of them are a bit obscure, so I'm quite looking forward to that. And then Joe and Polly have chosen some tracks, obviously, on the show, which we'll be playing later. Then we announce our winner of the quiz, and then we talk about classic rock Christmas tunes.
Great.
Because Joe and Polly, obviously from Classic Rock magazine, are very knowledgeable about that area of music, so we're going to chat to them, talk about the magazine, obviously.
Most Christmas songs are classic rock, almost.
Now they are kind of, apart from it is pop or just classic rock. Even The Darkness could be considered now becoming classic
rock.
Well,
yeah, I mean, they're modern, contemporary, but essentially they're aping a sound that's classic.
Well, I watched The Darkness Christmas Time Don't Let the Bells End video, yeah. And like, what, he's basically dressed like he's from the 70s.
Yeah, of
so
course.
It's pretty much classic rock.
No shit.
Then, yeah, we'll be wrapping up the show. It's going to be, I think it's going to fly by, actually. This is our last show before the last new fresh show before the new year. Next week, we've got a repeat. So you
a best of
yeah, just
type
a best
thing.
Of type sort of scenario.
A best of since yeah. we've done a best of. Before.
We've done two best of, so we'll just choose one of those ones. And then in January we're back on the 4th with Andrew Trendle from Gigwise and Charlotte from the Line of Best Fit chatting about new music in 2016.
Yep.
So very exciting indeed. But Paul, what have we got coming up next? What are we playing now? And I said we're notching it up. Christmas levels are going to number 11, and I said that for a reason. What have we got next?
We've got a bit of Spinal Tap.
Yes, this
Christmas
is
with the Devil.
Yes,
and we all love spending time with the Devil over Christmas time.
Right, here it is.
Spinal Tap, wishing you and yours the most joyous of holiday seasons. God bless us, everyone.
That was Spinal Tap with Christmas with the Devil. I kind of like how they wish you make a really shit.
So lame.
Yeah, so lame. I actually really want to watch it again. It's been years. Like, listening to that makes me want to watch it again.
Maybe that's a Christmas viewing, perhaps.
Yeah, I think so. It's such a good film. So, yeah, that was Spinal Tap with Christmas with the Devil, which is also a great song as well. Absolutely brilliant.
Well, all the tracks are great.
From their
albums.
Absolutely brilliant. So we're going to be speaking about Christmas song facts now. So let's stick in the... Just keep it sort of merry and festive.
Cool.
That's what we're doing here.
Yeah.
Trying to keep the Christmas vibes up to 11. That's what we're trying to do.
Amazing.
So, yeah, we're going to talk... You sound really happy about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, before we talk about Christmas songs facts, what would you want for Christmas? What do you want for Christmas? What do you want Santa, i.e. me, to bring you this Christmas?
I don't really know. I don't think I really want anything.
It gets a bit boring when you're an adult because you've kind of got
everything. I can tell that I'm kind of now in my mid-30s because all I kind of want is pretty much...
Asleep?
Yeah, sleep and peace.
Cheese.
And quiet and cheese and...
Baking.
Nice bread.
Yeah, totally. And, I would like freshly baked sourdough. Some kind of tray bake and cheese.
Yeah,
and
cheese platter.
Actually, I got more excited about the various ways in which we'd use the chicken over the days, like in a sandwich, in a soup, you know, all the leftover stuff. I got very excited and felt very festive when I was speaking about the food.
Various things. If we get big chicken, I can go mad with that stuff.
Make now,
chicken stock.
Yep.
Make chicken soup. I can make a chicken pasta bake.
Sandwich. This will
be the gift that keeps on giving for fucking days.
Yeah, even the cat's going to enjoy Christmas, I reckon.
Yeah.
Definitely. He loves a bit of chicken.
He'll turn into a bloody chicken, I think, by
the end
of it.
Yeah, well, he's massive enough. But yeah, like, I'm quite... Like, because now we kind of cook at home, and I quite enjoy, like, the fresh cooking and everything, because Paul, you're such
a... Now we cook at home.
Yeah, well,
like,
Paul...
We didn't in the past.
Paul's always cooked, basically. I'm not a very good wife, basically. But because you cook... I mean, I quite enjoy Christmas now, because when I was a child, it was oven meals from Marks and Spencer's. Like, I didn't get any fresh... cooking.
That's very disappointing.
Yeah, it was. Even the cranberry sauce was microwaved. Yeah, no, totally.
Nice.
It was absolutely disgusting.
There's
love for you. Like Marks and Spencer's Christmas. Although I still hanker after those little cheddar bites wrapped in bacon.
This is just an advert for Marks and Spencer's.
Yeah, it is.
Now.
Anyway, yeah, please sponsor us, Marks and Spencer's. Now, let's talk about Christmas facts. So, I had a quick read about Christmas facts. This is just general facts, not about just songs, just about sort of general...
All right, actual Christmas facts. No, I thought it was Christmas song facts.
Oh, Christmas song facts, but sorry, not about modern day. It could be about any kind of thing. So I've got a few Jingle Bells facts. I thought I'd maybe read them out.
Okay, let me guess.
We've been looking at the same websites. So basically, Jingle Bells, which was written by James Lord Pierpont... Paul's looking at his phone because he's like, yes, I concur, I have read this fact. Actually, I didn't even know that. I actually find this quite interesting. It was written for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm not entirely sure.
The pilgrims have bells. Did they jingle their bells? That's so weird. Like, I don't even know why. How bizarre. So I find that very, very strange. Another Jingle Bells fact. It was the first song to be played in space.
Yeah, I saw that as well. And apparently the astronauts had, they didn't tell base camp and all that kind of stuff, but they apparently they had rehearsed it beforehand and all that
kind
of stuff.
Is it base camp or is it mission control?
Or mission control. What's base camp?
Base camp's a website for bands.
That's band camp.
Oh, really? What's base camp? Oh, no, that's another program.
Base camp is where you... Base camp's where they take off from.
Oh.
Surely.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not big on my astronaut vibes.
It's not just a tool for music PR.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Also, I found this quite interesting as well. No matter what generation or what time we're in, that this Christmas song is still the highest selling single of all time. It's Bing Crosby's White Christmas.
I can understand why. No matter what age you are, you kind of know that song. It sounds old, that song, though, now, you know what I mean? It's that kind of crackly... It's like he's singing it by a fire or something like that.
Yeah, I guess
that's... In fact, it's just dead old.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say, in fact, he's just dead.
Yeah.
Which he is. But, you know, I kind of found that interesting because I thought it would be some kind of modern day sort of song. Did Michael Jackson ever do a Christmas song out with the Jackson 5, I'm wondering?
Not too sure.
Because I quite like the Jackson 5 Christmas songs. I quite like Frosty the Snowman and stuff like that. I thought they did a really good job. You got any Christmas song facts, Paul?
Yes. Well, yeah, actually, Let It Snow is was never. It doesn't actually mention anything to do with Christmas in that particular song. And yet it's become a Christmas favourite. And it's more just the fact that they're actually singing Let It Snow.
Yeah.
But there's no festivities, no mention to Christmas or New Year or anything about that. Like
actually quite a lot. Like, and also quite a lot of Jewish people have written Christmas songs as well.
I saw that
well.
Come up, but I wasn't going to mention that. But
no,
you
found it.
That.
I found like, it interesting because I guess anyone can write a Christmas song.
Well, yeah,
but
I don't think it's that interesting. It's almost kind of like it's like kind of saying, I don't know, like you know, a Jewish person wrote part of the script for the Grinch or something like that, or you know, what I mean, it's like
I guess because it's different faiths. I suppose Christmas is essentially a Christian holiday, isn't it? So, but yeah. Not anymore. It's really just for.
Well, the thing is, it's yeah, obviously it is, but having grown up knowing loads of Jewish kids at our school and. Whilst they do Hanukkah and all that kind of stuff, a lot of them from here and stuff, they'll do the Christmas Day thing and all that kind of stuff as well. And it's not because it's not really. It's not. I think it's not a religious vibe. You know what I mean?
And nobody sits about. Well, no one I know sits about kind of praying before the meal. Or I'm sure there are folk that do that and they celebrate it in a religious way.
Yeah,
but
and if it's like so religious, it's like it really is just a big. It's something. It's a holiday for people just to kind of see their family and relax and enjoy stuff and all that kind of stuff. And B, it's just a big marketing kind of tool. It's not like God sitting in the sky going, "Oh fuck, I better get down to that Argos deal."
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's 50% off
Black Friday.
You know what I mean?
It's Black Friday.
So it's all quite cynical, and it's just a case of you hang out with your family, your friends. Have some drinks and have some nice food, you know what I mean? But it's not, I don't think it has too much religious overtures now.
No.
Although some people will obviously deal with it in that way, I guess. But.
Well, when we were watching, I found this interesting as well, when we were watching Daddy Baker's Christmas countdown with all his sort of favourite Christmas songs.
Well, first of all, that just shows how old we're getting. We're watching Sky Arts. Christmas countdown as
we're
opposed
totally,
to Channel 5s or whatever.
Totally in our 30s now. But he mentioned that not many Christmas songs have the word Christmas in them.
No.
Which I found interesting as well. Also, do you hear what I hear, right? Which I really thought that was definitely a Christmas song. It was written by a husband and wife team about war, the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Totally.
How strange. See, all of these Christmas songs are so grim.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a specific line in that.
Yeah.
That I can't remember. I remember reading something about it. But it's something to do with, a cloud and a trail and all this kind of stuff. And it's meant... And it's not actually meant to... I think people assumed it was to do with, like, you know, stars and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's actually a nuclear missile or something like that.
I can't believe that. That's so weird. Christmas is a grim time.
So, yeah, it's quite a grim time.
Oh my god, we've got to keep festivity levels up to 11, so I'm going to ask you this, Paul. Was there anything when you were a child, you know, like in the 80s, back in the 80s, early 90s, that you wanted that you never got? For me, it was a Mr. Frosty.
Screwball Scramble.
Screwball Scramble. Shit, I never got that either. I really wanted a Thundercat sword that lit up as well, and even a lightsaber perhaps as well.
To be fair, I did also want a Mr. Frosty as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, yes.
But considering how much cola I drank back then, and to add some syrupy E-numbered kind of colouring to some ice would I'd have been bouncing off the goddamn walls probably.
Oh my god, yeah, because like so when I was working for a runner back in the day for CBeebies, and the production manager on the particular program we were working on, it was a special, she said, "I want you to go out and get some juice and sweeties for the kids, but you cannot put any, make sure you look in the bag, it cannot have E numbers." And I was like, yeah, whatever. And I just got whatever I got, and they went mental.
But is there such a thing as like juice and pop?
You can get that really natural, like just, she meant natural fruit juice with no E numbers, whatever. But I didn't look and they were sweating, their eyes were popping out their heads, they were like, it was like they were on an acid trip or something. It was really strange.
Nice.
Like they were running around and she was like, oh my god, they're going crazy, like they literally were like bouncing off the walls.
Are you sure you didn't just pop some tabs of acid into your juice?
There you go, children, have this.
Yeah, it's a special kind of juice box, Jimmy.
Totally.
When the fourth floor starts moving and the snakes start trying to attack you, don't come to me.
But yeah, like when I think when I was younger, just Mr. Frosty and Mousetrap, I was kind of intrigued by Mousetrap, although I used to go into my cousin's house and it was a bit rubbish. It wasn't
actually. Mousetrap is a bit shit. It's that way where, and even then, the actual Mousetrap, it'd get stuck halfway and all that kind of stuff. Like Screwball Scramble, on the other hand, I was absolutely dying for.
But you know what? Screwball Scramble, because my cousin had this as well. She had all the greatest
toys.
But
it's that way that it's like, unless it goes perfectly, and then it can come off and all that stuff as well. Like, it's like anything like that. It's like, it's quite rickety, so.
Really rickety.
If it doesn't quite work, then you're pretty much, it's kind of, the marbles are falling off.
And I really wanted a Super Soaker.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I would have gone to town on a Super Soaker. Oh, look who it is!
Here he comes!
Here he comes! Festive cheers!
Look at that face. He actually looks happy.
Where are you, Jerry? Right, okay. There he is, it's Beaverman.
Why are you wearing a Wookiee, Claire?
Oh, that's why he's smiling.
Yeah. I'm in the festive spirit. I'm wearing my fur coat.
It was keeping with the Star Wars thing.
Oh, I see.
You got your Star Wars thing. You got your T-shirt
wearing
on.
My top.
And you look like a Wookiee.
Thanks. Yeah.
I didn't say you look like a Wookiee. It looked like you bested one in battle and then skinned it.
Look at that. It's very soft and wintry. And it's a Christmas.
Is it real fur?
No.
Oh, good.
No, God, no.
No.
Not yet. I skinned some huskies for this. No way.
We're not quite at that stage of life yet, Ed.
No. I was going to say, because I know that you dropped the vegetarianism. I didn't know how far you'd gone.
Yeah, totally. I'm like in the back, kind of like skinning.
Well, I'm eating the chicken and the beef now anyway.
Yep, skinning me own kills.
Yeah, totally.
Next up, we're going to play Low, Just Like Christmas. Then we're going to talk about our best alternative Christmas tunes. And then later on the show, Ed's going to make a case for why he hates Paul McCartney's Wonderful Christmas time.
Yes, I am.
Looking forward to this.
Yeah. Yes, very much needed. But this is Low with Just Like Christmas. Here it is. That was Low with Just Like Christmas. I really, really like that song. It's not as more downbeat than the rest of what we're playing, but we're still keeping festive levels up to 11. You missed the Spinal Tap.
I know,
thing.
I just saw. Damn it.
Yeah, so good.
That doesn't sound right, does it?
Oh.
No, well, your mic just isn't on.
Yeah, Claire's just turned me down.
Yeah, sorry.
Ed's here now, Paul. We can turn you down.
It's fine. We can't have more than one beard on the mic at a time. Yeah. It just
beard
things.
Or beard?
Beard. Food bar regulations. Only one beard at a time.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah. Ofcom, see?
That's a great, like, we've got some really good Christmas songs coming up. I'm really looking forward to it. So,
one popularised by Die Hard.
Which one's that?
The next one.
You know what? I still have never seen Die Hard all the way
through.
What? I know.
You need to sort that out this Christmas.
Madness. I'd quite happily watch... I'd quite happily watch the first three.
Yeah.
Sorry, the first four, probably.
Wait.
The fourth one's good.
Is that the...
With Samuel L. Oh, no, it's not.
No, that's the third one.
Sorry, the first three.
Yeah, the first three. The fourth one's got Timothy Oliphant and Kevin fucking Smith in it for some fucking reason.
No, that's not so. Yeah, the first three.
Kevin Smith, oh my God, I totally forgot he was in that. Why?
Because he's Kevin Smith and needs to be involved in everything.
But then if you were Kevin Smith and you had connections and somebody went, you can be in that movie, would you not say yes?
Of course I'd say yes.
Is that why then after that, was it after that or before that that he directed?
It was after that.
So clearly Bruce Willis has gone, that guy seems crazy. Right, cool, get him in the Die Hard film.
Yeah.
They've got on reasonably well then. Then Kevin Smith's gone, I've got a film, do you want to be in it? And then it's all gone horribly wrong.
I'm saying
that
Red State was good, his follow-up film to...
it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It was strange for a Kevin Smith film. I actually quite liked it. Have you seen Tusk? No, not yet. Is it good?
No, I've not seen it yet.
Yeah, quite.
But I'm somewhat interested. Anyway, we're now off
topic. Right, so that we stay on topic, I'm just going to just keep this in the background.
Okay, cool.
Remember, it's Christmas.
Yeah.
So, let's... Staying on the topic of films, and then we can talk about Christmas songs in a second. What kind of reminds you of being wee at Christmas? Like, what Christmas films did you used to watch when you were small?
Oh, Christ. Scrooge, definitely. I mean, Joe and I have got a tradition now where we watch that just before Christmas.
Yes.
Before the bells on Christmas Eve.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Then when it hits midnight, we crack open a bottle of champagne.
Nice.
Then watch the rest of Scrooge.
Nice.
This Christmas Eve, we'll... you can't. Oh no, you can do that because it's the 23rd. We're going to Star Wars, isn't
it?
Yes.
Yeah, 23rd.
Oh my god!
Other films as well. Gremlins, obviously. Die Hard.
Home Alone.
Yeah, kind of. But that's more of a...
That's a daytime.
Yeah.
I'm hungover. I'm lying in the couch.
And I think the first time I saw that it was in summer, so it doesn't really have that association.
Yeah.
The Return of the Jedi.
Not
and
the Santa
Empire Strikes
Claus.
Back.
No.
I was like fucking 12 or 13 when the Santa Claus came out.
No, I was like, because it was like the late 80s.
The late 80s, the Tim Allen film, The Santa Claus.
No, Claire's thinking of like...
Are you thinking Santa Claus?
Yeah,
Santa Claus.
Santa Claus the movie, not the Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Oh, Tim Allen's the... You know what, I'll take that as well.
Santa Claus the movie where it's got the guy from Blazing Saddles playing Santa.
Yeah.
And what's his face, the little elf guy?
Oh, and Dudley Moore. It's also got John Lithgow as the bad guy, Beezy.
Yep. Yes.
Beezy toys.
Being weird as ever.
Yeah.
That's quite a good impression.
Tim Allen, no, as Santa Claus.
You can't get confused, like, wait a minute, was Tim Allen an elf or something?
No, it was just you, the Santa Claus. Oh, yes, the Christmas, the Santa Claus, you like it? Yes.
There was a comic book adaptation of Santa Claus the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Marvel Comics published a comic book adaptation of the film.
Marvel.
They did everything.
By writer Sid Jacobson and artist Frank Springer in Marvel Super Special number 39.
His wife in Santa Claus as well is Hyacinth Bouquet's sister-in-law from Keeping Up Appearances.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's Mrs. Claus.
The
one who went out with Enslow.
The loose one.
Yeah. Not the loose one.
No.
The other one who was going out with Onslow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, her husband. That's Mrs. Claus.
What about you? Like, what do you watch some of the similar
films?
Similar
vibe. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say Die Hard was a young... At that time, was a kind of like a traditional Christmas movie. Because when it came out, it was just an action movie. It just happened to be based around Christmas.
Yeah.
But since the preceding years, I would say, it's like I would associate it with Christmas.
Now
Elf
is new.
As well.
Yeah, Elf.
Elf I would include as a new one.
Yeah.
And also Harold and Kumar's Christmas.
Yes, as a new one.
I've not seen that yet. We recorded it, so we've got it to
watch.
That
is genuinely funny.
It's
Bad
great.
Santa as well. Bad Santa's a fucking
with
awesome
Billy
Christmas.
Bob Thornton.
Yeah, that's a great film.
Yeah, I'd quite like that as well.
That's
and
actually
also,
decent, yeah.
What was the other one I was going to say there? There's a few.
For me, snowman.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Original, not the new version, obviously.
Yeah.
Love Snowman just because I was tiny when that was released. Snowman, Santa Claus movie, and now modern day ones. You said Elf. I mean, Elf for me, so many quotable moments.
Yeah.
Will Ferrell's amazing, and it's before Zooey Deschanel became quite annoying.
Yeah. It's also the,
but she's quite annoying in that as well,
is.
To be honest with
she
you.
She manages to sing in it as well.
The unbridled joy in Will Ferrell's face when he's eating the mixture of cereal and all the crap.
Yeah.
Just, he's got his mouth full, he just has this little expression, which is like, and it's just like, yes, that.
Yeah, I love Will Ferrell. I absolutely love it. Anyway, let's talk about alternative Christmas songs. Now, I stumbled upon this one very recently, Goldie Looking Chain's Dubstep Christmas.
Nice.
it's genuinely really good, actually. Like, it's just, all he goes, I'm having a dubstep Christmas. Mm. That's all they say throughout the whole song. That's quite good. For those who don't know who Goldie Looking Chain are, like, they're a Welsh comedy rap group.
Yeah.
Mogwai's Christmas Steps.
Yeah.
Not really a Christmas song, but it's a bit epic. And Sufjan Stevens, he writes good Christmas songs. Yeah. Although all his Christmas songs sound like him anyway.
Well, I was going to say all his songs sound like Christmas songs.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's,
yeah, pretty much, yeah. Actually.
I'd probably put No Doubt, Oi to the World, which is a cover of, I think, The Vandals, Oi to the World.
That's a really irritating title for some reason.
Oi to the World.
Yeah.
It's Oi music,
Oi
isn't it?
To, yeah. Oi to the World. Right, Paul, what about you?
A few, actually. Jimmy Eat World.
Yes.
12-23-95, which is a pretty good song.
But they also covered Last Christmas.
Yeah, totally.
So they clearly love a Christmas song.
Eels, Christmas is Going to the Dogs.
Mm-hmm. Another depressing one. See, they're all quite grim. Like
Bad Christmas Religion, songs. Father Christmas.
John Waters' Christmas album is another great one.
Cool, yeah.
Frightened Rabbit.
Christopher Lee as well.
What did he do?
Christopher Lee's done has done like kind of like heavy Christmas albums every year.
Nice.
For the last X amount of years. Obviously not this year.
No, not this year.
Posthumously, he made Well Do, but he's done a few tracks like Darkest Carols, Faithful Singing. It's basically like black. It's like black metal.
Nice.
And him just, his tones just talking kind of thing over
That'd
it.
That'd
like,
be awesome.
Quite interesting. I think you'd quite like it.
We've run out of Christmas music.
Oh, yeah, no, I'd let it go.
Oh, you let it go.
Yeah, I'll let it go ahead. It's okay.
And also there's one, I guess, a more kind of modern one, Sky Ferreira, Omanco.
Omanco?
What? It,
which is, it's basically, the quote is like, she says, I'm gearing up for a Japanese Christmas, obviously.
So she's having KFC.
yeah, totally. Yeah, totally. With like a Christmas pudding in there, yeah. Or something like that. The it's taken from her 2013 album, and the video is shot by one of the members from DIIV, obviously.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And it's about the most hipster. It's about a hipster girl singing about Japan at Christmas.
It's such
a video shot by another kind of hipster band from like Brooklyn or something.
Yeah, they're
like
from
that.
New
so
York, aren't they?
There is a proper Asian fetish going on in the American hipster scene.
Shit.
I mean, this is. I'm surprised
they're
it's taking us. This
15
is,
years, 20 years too late, surely.
Yeah.
We've done that.
That's always been going on, I guess. Like,
but it always comes back in waves, sort of Japanese.
Like, remember
stuff?
When Gwen Stefani said that she bought two girls? It's you can't say that about people. Mm-hmm. That's slavery.
Yeah. You're not totally. They just follow me around. Anyway, speaking of alternative Christmas tunes, we're going to be playing Run DMC's Christmases. They also have Christmas in Hollis, which is another really, really great song. But I've chose Christmases, and then we're going to be talking about Christmas songs we hate.
Yes.
And you'll be making a case for Paul McCartney's Wonderful Christmas
Song. Will just be me shouting.
Yeah, it'll just be you going, I just hate this, and Paul McCartney. But this is Christmas in Hollis by Run DMC. More right after this.
Give up the dough, give up the dough, give up the dough, give up the dough, here we go, here we go.
I'm
from the ghetto. Now this mean I get no toys or presents beneath my tree. I wrote my list, I made my wish. Is this what Christmas means to me? No snowflakes dropping, can't go shopping. Rhymes I'm a popping to keep the hip popping. Why can't I stand up for the cause? I'm getting mine, you getting yours. That's how Christmas is supposed to be. A very Merry Christmas for everybody. Fight poverty, give to the needy. Don't be like the Grinch, cause the Grinch is greedy. Deck the malls with bowls of holly. Tis the season to be jolly. No presents for my tree yet, and I don't even know if any gifts I'm gonna get. Happy holidays, not like the latter days. A few here, a few there, the new year. Season's greetings are the reasons for the cheer. If Santa Claus is coming to town, hope is my chimney is coming down on Christmas. Because Christmas is on Christmas. Because Christmas is.
And hurry, and if you need a leader, I'll be there for your blurry, blurry sight. And write a rhyme for the night. Christmas is the time for giving up for the tight. So open your pocket, your heart unlock it. Dollars straight from Hollis, I give it like a clock it. Cold is the weather, minus the humidity. Don't mistake humbleness and kindness for timidity. Christmas, this must be the time of year. Let go of your ego, rather ego me go there. And here, my dear, so give a kid a beer. Cause every time you give, it's coming back, let's get it clear. I'll be scoping and hoping, brothers in the ear. So have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Give up the dough, give up the dough.
It's a Badge of Friendship on Food Bar Radio. I'm Claire Lim.
I'm Paul McCallum.
And I'm Ed Williams. Look at you two guys with your posh headphones.
I know.
Having the posh headphones.
You've both got the posh headphones.
I actually prefer the old giant tattered headphones.
I quite like those as well.
Yeah.
The cabling's better in the new ones.
I prefer the smaller, more snug fit for my head, I
he
must
does
say.
Like a snug fit.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you're wearing like the tightest jumper in the world and skin tight jeans.
Yeah.
You might as well just be wearing like the Green Man suit from It's Always Sunny. In fact, I think that's what I might get you for Christmas. You just walk about the house like that.
We used to sell those. The morph suit. Yeah, morph suit.
Who actually wears these morph suits?
Just, I don't know. People at parties, I guess.
Yeah, it's weird.
And marketing folk.
And marketing folk, yeah.
Now, we are going to be talking...
Not in the office, obviously.
We are going to be talking about Christmas songs that we hate. Now, we will go on and talk about Paul McCartney's Wonderful Christmas Time momentarily,
mm-hmm.
very shortly. But I just want to point out that there's very few Christmas songs I really detest. But Mistletoe and Wine by Cliff Richards is definitely up there.
I don't think we should even include Cliff Richard in any of this because it's not Christmas songs. That's like, he's the equivalent of somebody knocking on your door and asking if you'd like to have a discussion about God every time he releases a song.
Because that wasn't even religious. He made that song religious. And also, I really don't like Wizard or Slade.
Meh.
Yeah.
I really don't like them. I really, really don't. But yeah, like Mistletoe and Wine was written for a play.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, like, and it was supposed to be a boozy kind of like Mistletoe and Wine. And he
I can hear when you like a shanty almost. Like
I think at one point now, I can't remember like all the facts because it was last night. It was very late. And I was tired, but I think Twiggy was performed as a kind of boozy the whore kind of thing, like a kind of like Mistletoe and Wine, whatever. But then he heard it and went
boozy the whore,
like as a boozy whore. Sorry.
Okay.
Then he
Twiggy performed it as a boozy whore.
Yeah.
Where?
Theatre thing.
All right.
Oh, so it's a musical type.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Cliff Richard heard it and he went, well, I don't mind this song, but let's make it religious. Yeah.
Let's get rid of the boozy whore and replace him with a creepy old Christian.
Yeah. Kitty. Anyway.
I don't know if you can say that.
I just said a word. That's all
okay,
I said.
Okay, carry on.
Anyway, so, Ed. Arnold, I'll go to Paul first. Any kind of Christmas songs that you... really dislike?
I mean, I could probably name any number of songs, actually.
I do not like
Christmas songs at all. There are not many Christmas songs that I particularly would say, oh, that's a decent song. But...
Actually, while you're speaking, we'll just keep it festive.
In no particular order. I mean, there's a couple of tracks anyway that came out like straight off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. One just for being weird and creepy when you kind of bring it down to it, and one because it's fucking terrible, actually. But so the first one that I would say that I dislike is I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus, for the simple reason that...
It's a bit weird, right?
It's incredibly creepy and weird.
Yeah.
That you're basically singing it from a child's perspective.
Yeah.
When some man in a weird red suit
it's her dad.
And a big beard has come in to the house. I know.
Okay.
And mummy has provided not only cookies and I was going to say cookies and cream, but that's not.
That's later.
Not, yes, cookies, carrots, and some milk.
Yeah.
But also started getting on with Santa Claus.
Well, she's only kissing Santa Claus.
Thing is, well, you're assuming that it's the dad.
Well, yeah.
What if it's an only child? What if it's I was an only child, and I don't.
Basically, Paul seems to be speaking from some kind of dark place from his childhood. He's seen things. Yeah. Paul's seen things.
I had to rock myself back to sleep.
Mommy, what are all those dark movements and strange things and noises?
Yeah, why is Santa making that noise? I find that. What if it's a single mother?
But it's not, because...
Like, how do you know?
Well, because back then when they wrote the song, single mothers were essentially shunned or locked up in institutions.
For kissing Santa Claus.
Especially if they kiss Santa Claus.
Yeah, for having kids out of wedlock. Not to rain in your parade, but that's what the world was like back then.
Oh, damn. That sounds like the kind of world I want to live in now. It just reminds me of Charlie and from Philadelphia and, you know, like all the various Santa Clauses coming in to Shaggy's mum. And
Charlie's mother was a massive whore.
Yeah, totally. She doesn't seem like it, but she seems like she actually
is. It's always the quiet, high-pitched ones.
I just think it's incredibly creepy and weird.
Yeah.
However, if you're talking about genuine hate, Band-Aid, it's Christmas.
Although, you said about working in retail before, but we'll come on to one for Christmas time. When Band-Aid 20 was released, I was working in Virgin in film, and they played that song so many goddamn times. Now, I didn't mind the 80s version before, the 1984 one, but when Band-Aid 20 happened, my God.
I'm talking about
the 80s one.
They're all bad, but you could even start with the first one for the simple fact that it's a terrible, terrible song, considering the people that are actually involved in putting it together. They can certainly write a chorus and a hook and all that kind of stuff. I'm sorry, it's utter bollocks. Mm-hmm. It's a terrible, terrible song to begin with. Mm-hmm. And like with lines like, it's almost quite patronising.
It's extremely patronising.
There won't be snow in Africa this Christmas.
Except for up the mountains where it does snow.
Yeah, totally. And also,
get your facts straight, Geldof.
It's just like, it's just terrible, terrible lyrics, terrible lines, very patronising for a bunch of basically middle to upper class, very, very rich millionaires, white guys to tell, you know, Africa to that it's poor and blah, blah, and we should give some money to it and all this kind of stuff. It's like, it's fucking ridiculous. It's actually a song that I really, really don't like, and it's actually got worse if that's even possible with each incarnation.
I mean, the last one's Band-Aid 30, right?
Yeah.
Band-Aid
30. Even the name in itself, do they know it's Christmas? It's like, well, yeah, actually quite a lot of the population do. Quite a lot of Christians in Africa.
Yeah, totally.
Quite a lot of Christians.
A Christian country? Oh, that's... how would they know about Christmas? It's just ridiculous.
And the fact that Bono managed to worm his way into quite a few of the versions, not just the first one.
Leave it at the first one, Bono. At least with your slightly better company, even though it's still a shit song. But you have hanging about with fucking Charlie from Busted as it goes on, you're just like, fucking hell, get over it, man.
Oh god, so bad.
But you know, it's just like, and even then, like with the stories that you've heard since from when they've actually talked about it, and it just kind of shows that those people, when they were doing it, could not have given a shit. To be perfectly honest with you, it's like when you've got people like Francis Rossi and stuff like that saying that they're all coked up to their eyeballs and were fucked out their tits while they were doing it. It's like, yeah, I'm sure they really cared about Africa while they were basically boxed out their nut.
So, Ed, we have to come on to Paul McCartney now, Wonderful Christmas Time. Now,
can we just have the song playing in the background so I can point out
we're
going
to play
bits?
The full song next. Now, basically, I was reading about this. I thought it was in a 1980s song. It's 1979 when it was released. It appeared on the Paul McCartney 2 album, I think in a deluxe edition or something thereafter. I think they didn't.
Wikipedia's really expanded their entry this year.
But like the way she talked to it, it's like, I think they might have.
Because it was late last night and I didn't make any notes. But he's made shitloads of money from that song. Like shitloads. But it's one of those really, those Marmite songs where it splits people down the middle. So the actual Beatles biographers have come out and said it's one of his worst composed songs.
I'd stand by that. So it's a complete and utter car crash of a song. If I'd written that,
worst of all time though.
Worst Paul McCartney song of all time.
Well, I think it's Christmas song. I think it's Ed's least favorite Christmas song.
It's my least favorite Christmas song.
I don't think you say it's the worst song of all time.
It's my least favorite Christmas song.
So tell us about those days in retail then. When
actually not even retail. It's the service industry. When I was working in pubs, Christmas time, and you've got the Christmas album. Now that's what I call Christmas.
And the Christmassy people come in there.
And you're wearing your Santa hat. Ugh. And you're up to your elbow in some fucker's blocked toilet shenanigan. And you can just hear lilting on the wind outside.
Like those songs, those sounds.
It's the intro, just knowing what's coming, and the cheeky little boom, 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 boom. You can just see the fucker's face as he's writing it. Ooh, this is a bit cheeky.
I got to see.
Happy days, eh?
No, Paul, stop it.
Do you hate Paul Carney in general, don't you?
Yeah, I can't stand his music. He, like I said in the last show, or the next show, which was it?
They all blend into one.
There's lots of pre-records going on here, ladies and gentlemen.
Like I said, Paul McCartney's mediocrity is so uncontainable. He's even infected other people's albums. Michael Jackson's Thriller. He even ruins his own good songs. Live and Let Die is a fucking amazing song. Yeah. Until, boom, what does it matter to you? If you got a job, it's like, where the fuck?
Do not mind that.
Fuck off with your reggae cheekiness.
Hey, in fact, you say reggae, but the B-side was something about a reindeer and reggae or something. The B-side to
was. Reindeer and reggae. That sounds bizarre.
Right, one second. I am Googling now.
Write the reggae, reggae sauce?
No, that was Levi Roots.
So Wonderful Christmas Time. Oh, I can't do the Apple Find thing here. But yeah, it's, the B-side was about reggae and there's a reindeer in the title as well.
Of course there is.
Yeah, so...
So back to the...
Oh yeah, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reggae.
No.
That's what it says here, B-side.
That's actually just borderline offensive,
yeah,
to be honest with you.
Is he using reggae as a noun?
Nose reggae. Yeah, yeah, is he?
So you're in the retail, and more specifically in working
in
bars.
Working in pubs, working in bars.
And just so you're slowly dying inside.
And then Paul McCartney's telling me about...
Tell the public that you're very happy.
And then Paul McCartney's telling me that he's simply having a wonderful Christmas time. It's like, are you Ed? No, I'm not, Paul. Fuck off.
Do you need to unblock the toilets, Paul? Do you need to deal with Damien from accounts, who's in here with a party of 50, all pished out their nut?
No. To be fair, the customers weren't too bad. It was more the music that got to
really?
Me.
Yeah. I would find the people far more offensive than the music.
You'd think people who come into pubs usually all right. Get a drink down them, they're fine. Nightclubs, on the other hand.
We are going to play Paul McCartney's Wonderful Christmas Time next. And then Joe and Polly are going to join us from Classic Rock Magazine. So, Ed, I'm very sorry, but we have to play this as an example of why.
Yeah.
So, this is Paul McCartney's Wonderful Christmas Time. Here it is.
spirits up. We're here tonight, and that's enough. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The party's on, the feeling's here. That only comes this time of year. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The choir of children sing their song.
Welcome back to Badge of Friendship on FooBar Radio. I'm Claire Lim.
I'm Paul McCallum.
And I'm Ed Williams.
Yeah, Ed and Paul, are the two beards, are sharing a mic now because we have the wonderful, lovely Joe and Polly from Classic Rock Magazine. Hello.
Hello.
Yay. So these lovely ladies have joined us for our Christmas special. We didn't play many classic rock songs at the beginning. We played Spinal Tap, but that, you know, Spinal Tap.
That's good.
Which are amazing. So, yeah, we just wanted to sort of welcome you for the first time in the studio because you've never joined us before, which is lovely. And then, we're going to be doing our Christmas quiz later with you guys, talking about classic rock Christmas tunes. So, yeah, it's all go.
It's all go.
Keeping festive levels up to like 11.
It's fun here.
And we brought mince pies.
Ah, yes, look, there's mince pies.
Mince pies.
Look at it.
Waitrose mince pies.
Yeah, Waitrose mince pies.
I'd be the best.
Posh mince pies. Yeah.
I said mince pies and I thought you were like moving towards them.
I can take or leave mince pies.
Yeah, I take the same. Yeah. But I'm gonna try one later because I said that I'm not a big fan. But
sorry, somebody bought you mince pies and you told me.
I know, but I thank.
Thanks for mince pies.
Thanks for mince pies, Joe. Yeah.
Joe's crying.
By the way,
it's fine.
Sorry. I'm not known for my tact. I must say, I'm really sorry. As Ed will know from working with me for 5 years, and Paul will know from the last 13 years. of putting up with my bullshit. Anyway, so guys, Classic Rock Magazine. Now, you guys haven't been on the show before, so you need to tell the listeners, I think it's self-explanatory, but what is Classic Rock Magazine? Tell us all about the magazine and what you guys do.
Okay, Polly, take it away.
It's a magazine that talks about classic rock music.
Yes, of course.
I mean, basically, you're talking music, anything from what you think of as your core classic rock heroes, like your AC/DCs, your Led Zeppelins, your Whitesnake, you know, all those kind of guys, but as well as that, bringing in bands that come in more recently, but people who like your Led Zeppelin, your AC/DC might also be into. So we've covered people like Blackberry Smoke, a bit of Muse. More recently, groups like Crobot have come into play. So yeah, it's a mixture
Pond.
Of different Pond, yes. And yeah, and that's as Joe quite rightly points out, some psychedelic.
Yeah, there's a bit of psych going on. Yeah,
because I saw you mentioned Muse and things that I wouldn't consider Muse classic rock. Because I guess in my mind, I'm still thinking of them.
Well, they are
when
now,
I was at uni.
I would say,
well, but now maybe
because of longevity as much as their actual sound.
Yeah totally. Yeah. Because obviously, a lot of the most recent sound, I guess, in the last sort of couple of years hasn't been particularly classic. It's almost been like space rock or something like that.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
however, that's 40 plus years
old. Yeah,
on.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah totally.
Space
so,
rock. Yeah.
But yeah, Muse are a fucking terrible band.
Yeah,
like,
Paul's not a fan.
Just leave now. I'm sorry, this is your show.
Get out.
I'm sorry,
of
I'll
your
get out.
Show,
yeah.
Paul.
I didn't mind the first Muse album, the second one was okay. It's when they became, it's all the doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, all that kind of like
as time's
weird
gone on,
space
become,
thing.
Excuse me, that's what we like.
Oh, sorry, so sorry.
Give us those mince pies.
Sorry,
leaving.
I know. Basically, Joe and Polly have arrived.
Bye. Thanks, it was great, bye.
I've insulted.
I'll take my beer back, yeah. Thank you.
Oh, it's like that now. And the free water.
And what do you both do at Classic Rock? Polly, what is it you do at Classic Rock Magazine?
I'm assistant features editor at Classic Rock Magazine, and Joe?
I'm the managing editor, which everyone's very confused about, and especially me. But I do deal with things like the really groovy stuff, like finance and staffing and budgets.
It's very groovy.
And production as well. And occasionally, you know, very kindly, they let me have a bit of a quirky bit, and we'll talk about my quirky bits later, perhaps.
Oh!
Yeah, because we're going to go through the issue of 2015 and what actually happened. What happened this year?
Yep.
Yes.
Can you remember it?
A lot of stuff happened.
Nope.
Me neither.
Yeah, totally.
It's in this I think we need
a brush up, which is just perfect.
We're here to tell you.
Yeah.
I can never, like, when people go end of year list, blah, 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 I can only remember from about maybe August onwards. I'm like, oh, yeah, the last half of the year,
that's,
kind of
that's doing quite well.
Yeah, yeah. And then I kind of forget everything that happened at the beginning, kind of thing.
That's why we sit down for a while and go through it in quite a lot of detail. We can't really say it's a spontaneous kind of.
Well, no. In a way, that's why these magazines exist.
Yeah, well, yeah, of
thanks,
course.
Thanks, Ed.
Yeah.
Yes. Love you.
Yes.
Thank love you. Your work.
Although you said you didn't like a list, but you don't mind it when it's in a publication.
Yeah, I don't mind a list in context. I don't like it when people start spamming my Facebook and Twitter feed with, these are my best things from 2015. It's like, excellent. Start a blog.
Totally. Just blog that shit, please. Just blog. So what did happen in the year of classic rock, 2015? The year of classic rock.
It was
2015.
Yeah, good. I'm pleased that we've named it that. It was a year of classic
was
rock.
Was it?
Right, just looking at our contents page.
To give you a bit of an idea, the classic rock contents page for our best of 2015 special features Jimmy Page, Mad Max and the Pope.
Wow.
So just to give you a bit of a cross section. Mm.
And Jimmy's coming back next year, isn't he? He's going to.
Yeah, and he's in Mad Max playing the Pope.
That would be brilliant.
No, he's not.
You believed it.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. There was a lot of makeup going on. Lots of special effects. Who was he? One of the mining boys or something?
One of the mining boys?
What are they called? Those little white, powder white mining, the miner boy kind of things in Mad Max. And
oh, yeah, they did have a name.
They were the wild boys, were they?
Is that not a Lost Boys thing? No.
Yeah, that's
Is that a Lost Boys? Wait, I'm just getting very confused now.
The War Boys.
The Water Boys.
The War Boys.
I was like, Adam Sandler?
That's another
what?
Band.
Water Boys, that's a Dickens thing, isn't it?
It's an Irish folk combo, and they fell on hard times, had to star in a Mad Max movie. But Polly actually spoke to Doof Warrior, which is the flame-throwing guitar.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
What was that like? Was it a bit like, oh...
I was going to say, I have to qualify for Joe. It's actually another of our writers who spoke to him, but I commissioned it, so I can tell you that he talked to him about being on the set of Mad Max and not being hit by fire, which apparently didn't happen. But no, he's a really cool guy called Iota. That's his actual name. He's had his name changed officially and everything. And yeah, he's an Australian musician. He's played in a bunch of other bands and is a performance artist. And yeah, basically landed the role and hopes to reprise it if there is another Mad Max film.
And is there anyone this year that you've interviewed yourselves, either one of you, in 2015 that you've quite enjoyed, like any of the interviews that you've thought, yeah, that was a good one, anyone interesting you spoke to?
I'm just looking actually at, again, just to put this particular issue out here, a band called Biters. I don't know if you've come across them. They're an American group, do fantastic. Basically, think of Cheap Trick meets the Ramones and a bunch of other stuff, and you've got
Noel Fielding.
And
Noel Fielding's hair.
Yeah, lead singer who looks eerily like Noel Fielding. But yeah, I went to the pub with them and got them to road test a load of Rockstar endorsed beers, which was pretty fun.
Oh, nice. So, not bad.
So yeah.
And what about, because we talk about heritage, I mean, obviously there are quite a lot of, we call them, I suppose, heritage acts now, classic rock acts. But are there any new bands that come about that send like sort of singles, SoundCloud or whatever, and you think, oh, they're quite classical, but they're new, they're young. Are there
this is Polly's expertise, you see. This is Polly's job to unearth these people. And she does quite well.
Well, particularly recently, the name that's sort of on the lips of a few of us at the office is The Struts.
The Struts.
Who you won't find in this particular issue because they've got stuff coming out next year, but they're an absolutely fabulous group. It's about like being hit in the face with a barrel of glitter and guitars and lovely riffs and tunes played by people who really love Queen.
Oh, so, wow.
Nice.
Yes.
And they've actually just been confirmed to support Motley Crue on their on their final tour dates. So,
amazing.
Yeah.
Bad.
Definitely.
How do you, are these kind of bands that start kind of making inroads and they kind of find you to a certain extent, or is it something that you kind of specifically go and kind of search for kind of new up and coming bands of that kind of ilk?
Well, I think Joe would back me up on this. It's very much a combination of stuff that we might have gone out and found or been recommended to by friends, PRs. It's a real
And we have a consensus in the office mainly.
Yeah.
We get lots of different opinions, shall we say.
Yes.
And that's all good, you know, everyone gets everyone gets a say, really.
Yeah,
we were just talking earlier, we've got a spread of generations. We've got our oldest member is in his 60s, and then Polly's the sort of youngest person at 14 and a half. And it's sort of like, you know, all the stuff that kind of, you know, there's so much that can sort of fire our synapses in between. And sometimes everybody goes, wow. And one of the things actually that united us seems to be Killing Joke.
Yes, which nobody really expected. Because
great band.
They don't unite people normally.
Right?
Yeah. That's an interesting one. And a great band. Love Killing Joke. But we're going to have to play a track next, and then we'll speak. Then is our Christmas quiz. Not necessarily classic rock tunes, but 5 seconds.
Do we have to answer questions?
No, you just have to like listen to the clip for 5 seconds and then write down what you think the song is.
Oh, we do have to answer questions.
So, yeah, kind of.
Well, sort of. Yeah, in a sense.
I need a pen.
We will get you pens. Oh, we will sort you completely out.
Phew, I'm sweating.
We're going to play Heights, Carol of the Bells next. Now, did Joe, you chose that one.
That's an exclusive download through the Prog website at the moment.
There you go.
And Heights are part of Tesseract if you're a fan of the gent genre.
The
bouncy gent genre. Heights are pretty good, but yeah, they've done a lovely job. It's lovely stuff with
and
the Carol of the Bells.
What is the website so that we can go visit?
I think it's progrockmag.com.
great. And if you're not sure, then you can Google it and it'll come up straight away. Exactly. So this is Heights with Carol of the Bells, and then we're going to quiz everyone next on Christmas tunes. Here is
Thank you.
That was Heights with Carol of the Bells. I really like it. It's kind of creepy. Kind of has an ominous, sinister. Evil, sinister tone to it. Mm. Now, we are going to quiz you guys on 10 Christmas clips, which are some of them are 5 seconds long, some of them are 3 because it was so obvious I had to clip them right down. Ed, you're taking part in this as well.
Yes, I am.
Paul, if you want to come to my side, yep, so that we can, I've got the answers here. I'm going to have to do this. Are you ready?
Ready.
Yep.
Right, okay. So this is clip number 1. That's clip number 1. Right. Oh, everyone's looking very serious. Okay, very clip serious. Number 2. Oh, this is so easy. Take some time, but I'll get there. I mean, surely everyone would recognise that gravelly tone, right? Okay.
I hate that song.
Yeah, it's rubbish. This is number 3. I actually made these really easy. This is number 4. Boom, 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 boom. I do like that song. This is number 5.
This is like the biggest
closet. Yeah, totally. We'll go through them all again. Okay, this is one of my favourites ever. Number 6.
Hang on, how many are there?
10.
Oh, God.
That was quite hard to cliff. I mean, the whole thing's pretty obvious. Oh, Ed looks very serious. Ooh. He's not even looking up. Okay, now we're on to number 7. Oh, number 7, this is it. Yeah, that's quite difficult, actually.
That's abstract.
Yeah, that is quite difficult, that one.
Yeah, maybe not be so abstract when you maybe...
Yeah, sure it won't be, yeah, but totally.
Just you wait, Polly, just you wait. Now we have number 8. Okay, we have number 9. The angels sing, a king was born today. Right, now this is the very last one, which I chose especially for Polly and Joe. Right.
Okay, are there any clips that you want replayed?
Yeah, any that you want, because we're happy to replay them. There's a few gaps there, Ed.
I'll have 4, 7, and 8, please.
And you guys?
I'll say 8 and 9, if that's okay.
Oh, yeah. I've got 4 and 7.
So okay, so 4, 7, 8, and 9. Yep. Here's number 4. Boom, 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 boom. Okay, what was the next one? 7?
Oh, yeah, of course it's that.
Okay. somebody wants number 8?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Okay, number 8 coming right up. And what is the other one we wanted played?
9.
And 9? No. The angels
sing. No, I've got it written down. That's for 9.
Right. Are we absolutely cool? We can actually reveal the answers?
Okay.
Right. Okay.
Are we going to mark each other's work?
Oh, do you want us?
We can do, yeah.
Well, we could just mark.
All right. Well, mark, you guys mark your own work, and then the winner gets the first mince pie.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, let's do that.
Can I test out my jingle app for a hurrah kind of thing? Ooh, it's absolutely rubbish. It's free. Let's see if it works. Oh.
Go on.
Yeah, I'm trying.
No. Joe, you're disappointing everybody.
Well, you know, I did it earlier and it set the fire alarms off.
It did. It was really, really loud.
It's ridiculous. But this is the shitter one. What about that?
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah.
No wonder it's free. It has no reviews.
Are you shake it?
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
Do you quite like that?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. On with the answers.
And yeah. Now it's just doing its thing. Right. Okay. Right. Okay. Number 1 was this. Okay. What was that?
Wizard.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't see how to hand up
this. A wizard with I Wish It Could Be Christmas. Okay, so if you get the band and the title, you get 1 full point. Otherwise, a half point.
Whoa, that was not explained at the beginning.
Well, I'm explaining it now. Sorry,
because I know all the bands.
So what have you? Okay, what has everyone put? Has everyone just put?
I just put the song title. Song
titles. I didn't know one of the things, but I knew the other of the things.
Oh, Ed could come up proper here. Then.
No, I'm sorry. The rules were not explained clearly before the test.
Okay, everyone gets full points for whatever they guess for Essex. Now, Wizard, I Wish It Could Be Christmas was released in December 1973. And it went no higher than number 4.
Really? That is a travesty.
Oh, yeah,
so it's never ever been number one.
Never been number one? I did not know that. Mm-hmm. Now, oh, this one. Take some time, but I'll get there. Hands up, who knows what that is?
Nobody,
everyone.
Joe, nobody can see this.
Like, yes, with Driving Home for Christmas.
Yeah.
Yes, and that was released in...
I don't know where that came from.
That was released in 1986. It actually peaked at number 53 in the UK single chart.
53.
It's done much better since then.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure.
I think with the advertising syndication.
Oh
done
yeah.
Chris
yeah.
has made some money.
Out that. Yeah,
he's not short of a
and
property.
And as well as the ice creams,
he's having a good Christmas. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Okay. Number three was this. Right. Okay. Hands up. Who knows that is Ed.
Slade, here it is, Merry Christmas.
Yes, it's Merry Christmas Everyone by Slade.
Oh, it's a Merry Christmas Everyone. Oh, yeah, big cross for me.
A 1973 hit.
I think there was a bit of competition in 73, and that's why it was probably absolutely stacked.
Yes.
Like a top 50 with Christmas songs.
Yeah, because I just assumed that
Never Another Year Like It.
All of these songs from my youth, I'm like, yeah, they all went to number one. I just assumed that they all went to number one straight away. Yeah. But yeah, it was their sixth number one single, but it was their most popular song that they released, which is really strange. Yeah.
And it was number one in France in Easter. The next year.
There you go.
Really?
Well, let's put it this way.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. That's what I'm paid for.
They're having a good Christmas as well, let's put it that way. It's actually a song written from discarded songs written 6 years previous to that, which I thought was quite interesting. Now, this one, I think, sort of scuppered you all. Okay, yeah. This is number four. Right, Santa hands up. Baby. Do you have a stab, Holly?
A sort of a half one. It's Santa Baby. Is it Eartha Kitt?
Yes, yes, yes.
I got it on the second go. Brilliant.
Nice. Well
nice
done.
Work there.
1953 hit for Eartha Kitt. A tongue-in-cheek Christmas list 53? Rundown. Yeah, 1953.
Wow.
About a woman that's writing a Christmas list to Santa about all the lovely, expensive things that she would like. Isn't that a lovely Christmassy thing to sing about?
And very modern too.
Yes, actually, yes. Very. I love the jingle thing. Yeah. I might have to download that. Paul's going to kill me.
Hooray! There's another one that is literally a rave one that goes on forever.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the infinite jingle.
Nice.
Have you got a sign line in apps? Christmas
apps? Funnily enough, yes.
Yeah. JoeKendall.com/apps. This is number five. I actually hate this song, but
I hate it too.
Yeah, it's rubbish.
It was a shame to admit it because everyone else does like it.
Do you know it? Yeah, I do.
Can't stand it. Edge, take a stab.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's Fairy Tale in New York by The Pogues and Kirsty MacColl.
Yes, released in 1987, and it featured on The Pogues' 1988 album If I Should Fall From Grace with God. There you go. I like these little factoids. There you go. Thank you, Joe.
It's
Thank you.
Appreciation then.
Number six. Oh. I actually want to start crying when I hear this.
It's Star Wars.
Right, who wants to have a go? Joe.
It's Star Wars, isn't it? No, it's Walking in the Air.
It's like... yes, it's Walking There. It's a snowman theme tune, released in 1982. Okay, this one was quite difficult.
No idea.
Is it the end of Greg Lake?
No.
Oh.
It's E17 Stand All Day.
Oh, of course it is.
Oh, God. How did I mix up Greg Lake with E17?
It was quite hard
Well, if you got ELP, E17, nearly.
Yeah.
Stay Another Day.
Just need Carl Palmer and Keith Emerson to throw some knives.
We're clutching at Festive
Straws. The one who got
run
over by a potato van or whatever it was.
Greg, like, getting very psychedelic.
No, it is a little bit psychedelic.
I went to school with Carl Palmer's daughter.
Did you?
Yes, Carissa.
Oh.
What's she like?
Yeah, she was fine. I was like 10 at the time, so couldn't really base an opinion very well on her. She was a laugh, though.
E17 Stay Another Day was very hard to clip because they say Stay Another Day pretty much throughout
the whole
song.
Yeah, totally.
It was released in 1994, their only number one hit.
Good.
Yeah, but it's actually about Tony Mortimer from the band. It's actually about the suicide of his brother. Grim.
Yeah.
And it only features that sort of timpani thing. There's no drum beat or anything. So yeah, it's a bit of an odd number one. But they added this sort of Christmassy jingle thing to the end just so they could get it in the Christmas race.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So heartfelt song, cynical marketing ploy.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Okay, number eight. Mm-hmm. none of you?
No.
This was the Waitress's Christmas wrapping.
Oh, goodness.
Oh. Yeah, and it was released in 1981. Didn't know it was that old, actually. This one.
Mary's Boy Child, Boney M.
I didn't know this. Okay, so it was released in 1978. It's the cover of a Harry Belafonte.
Yeah,
song.
Have you not heard? The original one's actually quite beautiful.
It's lovely. We love a bit of Harry Belafonte.
I did not know that.
Smooth.
Now, we all know what this is.
I don't know the name, but it's telling me something.
Thank you.
Wonderful piece of Christmas music.
That is actually, I hated it when it was released, but now I listened to it back.
Wow,
I'm like,
three, four, five. Yeah, now I only got five.
Now, that was released in 2003. Now, you guys add up your scores. I'll do the facts.
Hang on. So, just to clarify, we've gone back to 1 point.
Yeah, just one point. So, The Darkness.
I can't count. Sorry.
They released that in 2003, but they were beaten to number one by Gary Jules and Michael Andrews' cover of Tears for Fear's Mad World.
That was a terrible moment.
And you're very cross about that, aren't you?
I was sad. I was one of the people who mourned that for a while.
I don't know what was going on in 2003. People maybe wanted a bit of kind of like sadness for Christmas.
Why? It's Christmas. Nobody wants sadness at Christmas.
I know. Yeah.
I think that was during the cocaine drought of the early noughties.
So, let's have your scores. What are the scores? Let's go, Polly. You first.
I got 8. Out of 10.
8 out of 10.
I got an 8.
Oh. Mm.
I got 5.
Oh no. We don't have the boo sound.
To be fair, I was up against two people who work for a music magazine.
Yeah. So there's
E17 and not ELP. Come on.
Yeah, no, I know.
I think it's because when we said we were doing a Christmas quiz, you kind of just went, got this. And I was like, Ed knows.
I didn't realise it was going to be Christmas songs. That's the thing.
I said Christmas songs.
Did you?
Random music.
I just thought it'd be music.
Yeah, just thought it'd be music. You're going to have to redeem yourself in the next quiz, Ed.
Well, so it's official, it's a classic rock Christmas.
Yes.
It is.
Woo!
I'm just going to see if I can get this fire alarm thing going.
Yay! Woo! Well done.
So fire belly now.
Forever.
I'm hearing it in the office.
Well done, guys. Yeah. Well done.
I don't know how to switch it off.
Well, guys, I'm going to have to love you and leave you.
Can we have some reverb?
Right, we'll see you later.
Oh.
Take care, Ed.
So,
hang on, where are you going?
I'm going back to work. I only work down the hall.
Okay, we'll see you later then.
Have a good Christmas, guys. Bye.
Take care. Bye, Ed. Right, we are going to play Exploder Hell's Bells It's Christmas, and we will have more with Joe and Polly right after this.
Edge of Friendship on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to A Badge of Friendship's Christmas special on FUBAR Radio. I'm Claire Lim.
And I am Paul McKellum.
We are joined by the lovely...
Polly Glass.
And...
Joe Jingles.
Yes, Joe Jingles.
Apparently.
We've
they call me Mr. Joe Jingles.
That's great.
Oh, God.
That's great. We've just mashed up all the vibes. Yeah, we decided that we're going to sing a special song at the end of the show with Joe Jingles. Adding this jingle effect to the beat, if we can do it.
Yeah.
That was Exploder with Hell's Bells, It's Christmas. And Joe and Polly won the Christmas quiz challenge. In fact, I knew they were going to win.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Now that Ed's here.
Did you let us win?
No.
You guys just generally have the knowledge.
Okay.
Yeah, you've got the knowledge, definitely. Like, I kind of knew that Ed would fail a little bit. Now that he's not here, I can say that.
Failed. That's such a strong word.
You failed, Ed. Go enjoy your Christmas alone.
Oh, dear.
Now, let's talk about classic rock Christmas tunes. Do you guys have any favourite classic rock Christmas tunes?
Of all time or ones that have come out this year?
Let's just do of all time. And if they came out this year, you can talk about them this year as well.
Well, it came up at the end of our quiz, but I have a personal soft spot for Christmas Time, Don't Let the Bells End by The Darkness.
It is a very good song.
Classic, classy, beautiful tune with an equally lovely video.
Did they not have a Christmas album as well? I'm sure they have.
If they did, I wish I'd heard it, and I feel
I don't
sad
think they do. They have done a few sure Christmas
they
songs.
They did a Christmas EP.
I've still got mine.
Yeah, I've still got mine. It was wrapped in special darkness Christmas paper.
Oh!
I tried to sell it many times. It just didn't go.
No.
Poor old eBay went dry at that point.
Yeah, totally. eBay had been rinsed for the darkness at that point.
What about you, Joe? What do you quite fancy from the classic rock Christmas vibes?
Well, I think because I was sort of constantly hearing it through that quiz, it is Greg Lake, I Believe in Father Christmas. So dramatic.
Like
I really remember being a kid, watching that video, eyes full of tinsel and fire. Come on.
Aww.
That's it. So dramatic.
Nice.
A bit of troika, a bit of classical music at the end. Yeah, lovely. Absolutely lovely. But I do like a bit of Kate Bush as well with December will be magic again and all that.
See, I feel like your taste in Christmas music are much more sophisticated than mine because I go straight for The Darkness.
And Kylie.
And Kylie, obviously. And Spinal Tap, Christmas with the Devil.
Yes.
That's already been played in the show before you guys arrived.
Fabulous.
Classic.
Yeah. Absolutely
classic
brilliant.
Song.
Excellent choice.
I quite like those kind of songs as well. I just kind of like to be happy at Christmas.
Exactly.
And The Darkness make you feel a bit happy.
And there are quite a few grim Christmas songs as well. So
really
I try to kind of give them a swear off as much as possible. We're saying on the way here, we're doing the rounds of, you know, kind of going through magic to Absolute Radio to whatever.
That's how awesome and cool we are.
We couldn't even bother.
We were like driving around London.
But the kind of overriding thing was that from all of these, even Jackie or whatever, was that it was just a grim tune after another. You're just kind of like,
you just want to hear In Dolce Gibbono and pretend you're in the school concert again with your recorder.
You're just like, come on, we want to be happy, not kind of think about really grim things at this time of the year. But yeah, it seemed to be, it's all very low.
Oh my god,
low
there
five.
Is another one that is a constant earworm to me at this time of year, which is Shaking Stevens.
Oh yeah.
Shaking Stevens.
The English Elvis.
Welsh. He was Welsh.
Welsh.
Yes,
oh, yeah, of course.
I'm paid for
I'm
this
just that, yeah, I'm, and and I've just probably just offended Shaky. But my used to, bizarrely, I think Shaking Stevens was the first tape that I had when I was a kid.
Clearly,
my mum
influenced the fashion
the outfit,
style.
Yeah,
yes.
Totally. That's why I'm just going to get rid of the back of the hair soon, and then we'll just go for the quiff, and it'll be sorted.
I tell you what, one of the best things I ever saw actually at a gig was at Glastonbury, and Shaky was playing, and somebody actually had a green door that they were crowd surfing around.
Nice.
Yeah. How did they get that in?
That is genius, though. That is unbelievable.
Very cool.
Let's talk more about classic rock.
Getting us back on the point. Thanks.
What you have coming up in, so what's out in this issue right now? What issue number are we on at the moment?
Oh, well, this is
two
actually,
one eight,
yeah, two,
at,
yeah, 218. This is out now, but it's our January issue, so it takes us through to kind of next year. So Jimmy Page was our big feature, and he was talking about his reissues. You know, he went absolutely epic on the reissues for Led Zeppelin this year and won an award or two, including at the Classic Rock Awards. We've also got the Classic Rock Awards because we had that a couple of weeks ago in at the Roundhouse. That was quite fun, wasn't
it?
In fact, this is Polly's moment, perhaps, of the year.
Ah, yes, I met Jimmy Page. It was quite cool.
Nice.
And actually managed to maintain a semblance of articulacy and introduce him to two other people in the process.
So nice. Two other musicians who probably thought, oh, Polly's got a pal. Brilliant.
It was Marco Miniman, who was playing drums for Joe Satriani the night before, and a guy called Dan Patlansky, who's also a very good musician to check out, blues rock dude from South Africa. And they both wanted to meet Jimmy and were hanging around, and I suddenly had a burst of confidence and decided to go over and introduce them.
So I think in those kind of situations you just have to own it and just how are you doing?
Exactly. It was that kind of, I either do this or I don't at all. It's like, hello.
Yes.
But Polly had been sitting next to Nils Lofgren all night, and he was lovely.
Wow. He was lovely.
And I met Noddy Holder. Hurrah.
Nice.
Wow. That's a good moment. Wow.
That's quite a night.
Yeah.
It's quite a night. Yeah,
yeah. Totally.
We were at Scarlett Page, Jimmy Page's daughter's photography exhibition. And so Jimmy walked into the room, and it's funny, like, everybody immediately just started, like, hovering around him. Like, he was
not saying anything.
Not speaking
to him, but just like
the phone started to come out.
Yeah, totally. And people kind of doing the selfie thing, but pretending. I'm just taking a photo of myself.
Oh, just stretching
my arm.
He just
happens to be in the background, kind of thing. You're
just
like,
nice little coincidence.
Yeah, totally. Oh, look who I'm hanging out with. Yeah, right. But yeah, that was a really great night.
Yeah, great night.
Well, you had your own Jimmy moment there, didn't you?
Yeah.
What's your moment of the year? Hang on, I'm going to interview you now.
Oh.
What's your rock and roll moment of the year? Classic rock moment of the year?
Oh, God. I don't really have them because I'm boring as hell now. Well, Joe, I like being in pyjamas with my cat. So that's pretty much...
There's no shame in that whatsoever.
That's so pretty that much pride. My life now. I think, generally speaking, just going to LA is such a rock media industry town. So this year we've been dying to go to LA for ages.
We did that. It was very...
People watching the Chateau Marmont, that was quite rock and roll, I guess.
But we kind of did the whole kind of thing where, like, going to a few gigs and venues and, like, places we'd heard about. But it did seem like LA has that particular kind of rock and or roll sound kind of thing. It's proper kind of, like dudes and leather and beards and all that kind of stuff. It was that proper kind of...
Sunset Strip.
Yeah, it did seem like that. A lot of kind of... There's such a particular sound in LA, because we went to Toronto after that, and there was such a... The sound was completely different, very cool and hip and all that kind of stuff. And Ellie was just kind of a little bit grimy, a little bit rock
loud.
And roll, and a bit loud, and it was pretty cool, actually.
I've got a classic rock moment, but one that's maybe last year. When we got married, my friend Tom was my bride's dude of honour, and he works for Ozzy Osbourne as his PA. And he was showing Ozzy and Sharon all of our wedding photos, and they said we looked very nice.
That's cool.
Very nice. They actually went through all the thing on Facebook with Tom, and I was like, that's kind of weird.
We breached the Osbournes.
I'm doing their kids' birth charts for Tom to give to them. Yeah,
nice one.
So yeah, that's homework for me this weekend.
So I suppose that's quite a classic rock thing to do.
That's
isn't
quite
it?
Like, a classic rock moment.
That's quite I suppose
very.
That's quite classic.
I have got something that's kind of a tangent of classic rock, and it is my album of the year is Torch, and that was one of my best gigs of this year, and you were there.
Yeah, we were there as well
at the Underworld in Camden.
Yes. Torch is such a good band.
I was so deaf afterwards, which I normally am in the day anyway. But that was absolutely fantastic.
Also,
that's my album of the year. And that was one of my gigs of the year.
I'm also a massive, massive Clutch fan. Obviously, I was just thinking there, like, because you guys have obviously got the free CD that you give away, which Clutch is on, and you've got your albums of the year and all that kind of stuff as well.
Clutch
so
are incredible.
How does Clutch work into that kind of vibe for you guys?
Well, they work very well.
Everybody liked them. Like, I mean, the album this year has gone down so, Psychic Warfare has gone down so well with, I think, everybody in the team. It's been one of those few albums that everyone's been able to say, yeah, we really like this, whereas normally there's some divide, you know, some people might not be so keen on one and some people might be, but no, it's just fantastically groovy, like particularly with this one and their last album Earth Rocker. They seem to have really streamlined all those different hardcore punk, you know, go-go music, all those different bluesy stuff, all those cool elements that make up their music into one big,
they're very,
groovy
very sophisticated
hold.
At what they do, aren't
they're
they?
Very sophisticated, yeah.
We're really
on point. I love Clutch a lot, actually.
We need to play another song next.
Yep.
Unfortunately, this is a very good song, but it's because we are running over as usual, like, cause it's so nice to have guests on the show. But we're going to play a song next, The Ravenettes, the Christmas song. Then we're going to wrap up the show and we're going to try this theme tune that we will all sing with Joe Jingles. Look, Paul's rolling his eyes.
Do we have to sing?
Yes, like, we have to sing.
I'm kind of curious about this now. Hearing both your takes on it.
No, it's not.
Don't listen to Paul.
It's not going to be fun. It's just going to be awkward.
If anything, Joe and I will be singing away. like with the jingles and stuff. So
the jingles, what you just
I just realised I had a responsibility,
a
so I'm just checking.
Noise.
Yeah,
yes, we're all good. This is the Christmas song by the Raveonettes. More after this.
All the lights are coming on.
Back for the last part of the show. It's A Badge of Friendship on FUBAR Radio, and we are joined still by the lovely Polly and Joe from Classic Rock. Ladies, I hope you've enjoyed your stay.
We have very much. Thank you for having us.
Good.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
And again, congratulations for winning the quiz. Now, before we wrap up the show, I really...
such a kind of token gesture. Well, well done for...
Well done. Now, before we wrap up the show for good for the new year, I want to ask more about what's in the mag this month for those who want to go out and buy something to read over the holidays.
Yeah, sure. Well,
so go for it.
Apart from the magnificent Jimmy Page and the brilliant Mad Max, we talked about things like Dave Grohl's Throne of Guitars. How did he get that? Because we've got burning questions. Mm-hmm. Also, we wanted to know, is everything all right with Lemmy? And it seems to be. We did actually see him at the Classic Rock Awards, and he gave an award to Janie Hendrix, Jimi Hendrix's sister, for an inspiration
for
Jimmy. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Nice.
We've got Kate Bush in there, but we've got Kate Bush in because there's a new book out, and it's just all these photographs that her brother did because he was by her side for, you know, so many years, 30 years, and this is sort of album sessions and stuff from home and, you know, all the outtakes, Brill. Yeah. Rock and roll injuries. A lot of people hurt themselves.
People got hurt. People fell off things. Yeah. People broke stuff.
Yeah. Can you give us a hat? Not to give away the feature.
Wrist injuries. We're not going to say how that happened.
Yeah, totally.
Skiing accidents or possible skiing accidents.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Then we got Keith Richards. Got a great interview with Keith. We got the Pope. I didn't speak to the Pope, but I spoke to his right-hand man, who is in charge of all his prog rock stuff. He's called Don Neroni.
Oh.
He's 80 and he's a rebel.
Wow. He sounded very cool, actually.
I love it.
Yeah, he's brilliant. Polly got to hang out and get drunk with the Biters.
Nice.
We talked about all the cassettes that have started coming out, you know, Record Store
Yes.
Day is now a cassette store.
Yeah, no, I spoke to the guy from the drummer from Cadaver, who are fantastic.
Nice.
And yeah, just talked about his love of cassettes.
Fantastic.
Yeah. We've got Jeff Lynne. Because ELO, yes!
Oh,
ELO
are
back.
They came back.
And then we did have to say ta-ra to some people such as Chris Squire from Yes, Christopher Lee, many people. It's
Christopher
been a bit
Lee,
of a
yes. He should have been on this list for Christmas tunes and all that kind of stuff as well.
Ah,
obviously.
Yes.
Damn. Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Chris Squire, Swiss Squire. And B.B. King, another sort of legend that has gone, and there's still some contention around what's going on with the, was he poisoned, basically?
A good conspiracy theory.
It's a bit of an investigative kind
and then
of
we have things. A fantastic round table, and that features a lovely lady that I know through you called Tiff Stevenson, a fantastic comic, and she is having a hangout with Ginger Wildheart, Mick Bolton, Uriah Heep, and
Jaron Johnston from the Cadillac 3,
who quite a round table. Interesting.
And the thing is that they really do tackle some serious questions, and there's quite a lot in the mag, but there's actually a longer version on Classic Rock. Classicrockmag.com, magazine.com. What is our website these days?
type that in your
just look for it.
You know what, we've got Google, so kids, if you're listening, Google it.
You've also done like a little kind of list of albums of the year. What's your like, from a personal kind of point of view, what's the kind of albums that you guys have chosen from that list, maybe in the kind of higher end?
Well, for me it was a bit of a toss up between Clutch, which we were talking about earlier, which is fantastic record, and Blackberry Smoke. They had an album out this year called Holding All the Roses, fantastic piece of southern rock and roll.
Bill Oddie loves them. He came to the Classic Awards and he was all over them
And on the slightly more progressive end, Stephen Wilson, he had his album out, Hand Cannot Erase, which veering a little bit further away from the jazzy kind of end of stuff that he tapped into with his last couple of solo records, but it's another fantastic work from him,
and an epic story as well, isn't it, really? And his shows were really emotional this year.
Emotionless people.
Yes.
It was an emotional show, yes.
And if that's is this on sale now? Can people purchase
right now,
it? And
all the way up to January 5.
Great.
But then we've also got a new issue out this week.
Yeah, and that tells you what's going on in 2016.
Oh, wow.
Exactly.
Okay, so you've got another issue that tells you about the year ahead kind of thing?
Yeah.
Oh, so like top tips kind of thing?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Should we come in and tell you about that?
Yes. I think you might need to come in and tell us
about
that.
Let's not give the viewers too much to hang on to here. We should,
we'll, you keep saying that.
The viewers are fucking saying that every single time.
Paul thinks he's being watched.
All the time. This is especially for the viewers.
We are... Joe Jingles is jingling up.
I'll tell you right now, I ain't going to sing this. So you can play the song.
Bah humbug,
but
I'm not
singing.
Not that this is festive.
The fucking Golden Girls today.
Have you got any words? Where are the words?
I've just googled it on.
We just know the words.
Paul actually knows the words off by heart, so it's a shame you're not going to sing that. I don't so much, but now
you can sing it.
If you want to get in touch with us, do a bit of the show admin now. So if you want to get in touch with us, it's aboff@foodbarradio.com. If you're a band, an artist, or a label, you want to send in some music, please not send attachments. Very bad. Evil. Please just send Bandcamp and SoundCloud links, please. Streaming links. You can tweet Foodbar Radio or aboff. I'm at WeClaire on Twitter. Paul, where are you?
I'm at SirBeardyPants.
You ladies want to do your Twitters as well. If you want to go check out Classic Rock, check out Polly and Joe. Where are you guys on Twitter?
Polly_glass and Joe.
I'm Joe the Kendall.
Joe the Jingles.
For Christmas anyway, at least.
At the moment, I'm Joe Ho Ho Kendall.
Are you?
Joe Ho Ho.
And where can folks kind of follow Classic Rock on Twitter?
That's our own Twitter handle, so it'll be Classic Rock Mag.
Great.
Yeah. And I found out our website. classicrockmagazine.com.
There you go.
It's a .com. I'm never sure if it's a .com or a .co.uk.
I don't know where I am from day to day, so
there you go. Right. Now, we will be back properly on January the 4th. Next week will be some kind of repeat. We might play the Armando show. We might play the Andrew WK show. I'm not sure yet. We'll just choose one out of the bag.
Both sound good, though.
The Andrew WK one was
someone
interesting.
Someone else will choose, probably.
Yeah,
Laura will choose.
She's gone. She's given up.
Her hair has changed.
she's gone. She's given up for Christmas. Joe Jingles. We will be back on January 4th. Andrew Trendle from Gig Wise and Charlotte from the Line of Best Fit will be telling us about their top tips for 2016. We have an array of amazing shows in January lined up, which I still need to organise and book, but that's besides the point. We will
one
be back.
One of them being a Classic Rock special.
One of them will be a Classic Rock special. Yes, Joe and Polly will definitely be back because they said it on air, so it has to be real.
Yeah,
cool. Yeah, totally. It's verbally binding.
It's verbally binding. Now, Paul, you're not going to join in, are you?
No.
Oh, go on.
Why is everyone else singing?
Yeah.
I don't know what we're singing yet. I'm just waiting to see what happens.
Golden Girls.
The Golden Girls. Exactly. You've committed now, Polly.
Oh, wow, God, I have committed.
Yeah, you can come along and then just kind of say the odd word here. Thank you for being a friend. And then
I think that's when the jingles are going to come.
Okay.
Joe will not be singing. Joe will just be jingling.
Yeah, I will.
That is what she does.
That's what I do best.
Right after we do this, we're going to be playing Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You, because it was a request by Ed, because we played Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney to annoy him. So we're going
to. He hates that, but he loves this.
But he loves Mariah Carey.
So
fine, that's
fair enough.
Fair dues, Ed. Fair dues. 5 out of 10. Okay, cool. I'm going to play Golden Girls, and thank you very much for listening. Here it is.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again.
I hate this.
Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant.
Kill me. Kill me.
And if you threw a party and invited everyone you knew, you would see the biggest gift would be from me. And the card attached would say, thank you for being a friend.
Thank you very much.